Wooing the Witch Queen by Stephanie Burgess. Read by Amanda Lee Cobb. Chapter 1. In the elegant capital city of the Archduchy of Astarion, the easternmost principality of the Seraphin Empire. It was a cool, rainy evening in Astavial City when Astarion's Archduke decided not, after all, to give his in-laws the gift of his own early demise. He was at the opera when the decision crystallized within him, sitting in the velvet-hung cage of the royal box. His father-in-law, Astarion's chief minister, sat straight-backed beside him, silver mustache magnificently waxed and uniformed chest glittering with medals. His burly brother-in-law, the high general of Astarion's armies, lounged carelessly on his other side, one leg spread out to block him from going anywhere. On the stage below, a soprano warbled tunefully about lost love, while opera glasses sparkled eagerly across the tiers, all fixed upon the most famous young widower in the audience. Archduke Felix Augustus von Astarion. The Archduke was, of course, clothed in endless black. It was the only color ever to be found in his wardrobe nowadays, no matter how many times he requested otherwise. It would make the perfect, breathlessly awaited climax to this evening's public performance for him to simply lean forward, overwhelmed by his so famous grief, and topple from the high royal box onto the stage below. Felix, the 23-year-old man behind the title, had grieved his wife's death 13 months ago. He had grown up with Emmeline, the kind-hearted daughter of his grim regent, and one of the only other children he'd ever been allowed to meet. They had protected one another against her father as well as possible throughout their shared childhood, and the quiet moments of peace they'd found together had formed his sweetest memories during those cold years. Felix had been not only glad, but desperately relieved when he'd first learned, on the cusp of adulthood, that she was the bride chosen for him by the Count, rather than some foreign stranger. When Emmeline had unexpectedly been taken ill, he had held her hand to the very end, and when her eyes had been shut by the highest of the attending physicians, he had lost all dignity and wept before witnesses for the first time since his parents had died, and Count von Herzendorf had arrived to instill brutal rules of discipline upon him. He was surprised at the time that his father-in-law allowed so many servants and courtiers to witness such a shameful breakdown. It was only when he finally emerged from the fog of grief, several months later, that he realized the simple truth. With Emmeline's death, Count von Herzendorf had lost his prime claim to the Archduchy of Astarion, so he was already planning his next move. At 23, Felix was too old to require a regent. In the eyes of the law, he could, theoretically, dismiss his father-in-law from the role of chief minister and wrench control of the army from his brother-in-law's violent grasp. He could even choose to wed again and bring a rival family into power. It all seemed wildly unlikely to Felix himself, who barely knew any of the other members of his high cabinet and had never been allowed a private conversation with any of them. But Count Gerard von Herzendorf had not become the most powerful man in Astarion by dismissing any potential threats on the horizon. He had been preparing, even at the moment of his daughter's deeply disappointing death, for the worst that he could imagine to happen, and Felix had played directly into his hands with his unmanly display of emotion. The Count would never willingly give up the power he had seized 15 years ago. Having been appointed temporary regent by his fellow members of Astarion's high cabinet, he had chosen to appoint himself chief minister on the day of Felix's 18th birthday, although he'd had the political sense to send out that proclamation in Felix's name. By then, Felix hadn't even tried to protest. He had been taught for years, by means of ruthless beatings, strategic isolation, and carefully calculated starvation, that the Count would brook no challenges to his authority. And Count von Herzendorf recognized no mercy when it came to enforcing his will. The laws of the empire and the force of public opinion were both strong enough that he couldn't push Felix over the balcony now, in front of hundreds of fascinated onlookers. However, he could make utterly certain that no one would be surprised when news of the Archduke's eventual, tragically self-inflicted